doing in the church, and we want to just move right along into the service today. Appreciate our music team today, and appreciate you being here in God's house today, and appreciate everybody working as hard as you work. I'm going to start this morning. Let me just see by a show of hands, and then this is going to help me as I walk into this message. I know some folks are not able to be here on Wednesday night. We have church just like this. Penny plays for us on Wednesday night, but we still have church just like this on Wednesday night. I typically preach just like I always do. If you can come on Wednesday night, I hope that you will come and be blessed. I guarantee you that you will receive something from it as God gives it to us. And this past week, God just really helped us on this past Wednesday evening. We had a good time in the Lord. So in the book of Romans is where we're going to start. A lot of times, Brother Scott and myself, we tag team these messages and we don't plan on it. And this morning is sort of kindly that way. This morning, I guess walking into this message, I would ask us today if there's anybody in the room that's ever went through a storm. Anybody that's ever went through something in your life and you really did not know how you were going to make it through. This past Wednesday night, and we're tying these messages together, and I knew on Wednesday night that I would be tying these messages together today. But on Wednesday, we talked about the Lord is my helper. We read the scripture in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. We read the scripture in the latter part of this, and I'm just going to read through this really quick and recap the 3 points that we talked about, picking back up and moving forward this morning. So Romans chapter 8, verse 31, Paul is writing, and Paul is saying to the believers that are there in Rome, and he's writing this as an encouragement to the believers. I don't care how long you've been serving God. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many storms you've been through. Everybody, including the preacher, from time to time, needs a little bit of encouragement. And Paul was writing this, and Paul was saying, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now let's stand and go home. That's a message in and of itself. Just kidding. If God be for me, then who or what can be against me? I don't do this a lot in my preaching, but every now and then I get a little chatter started and we get to talking back and forth to each other during the message. And I want to do that right now. I want you to look your neighbor in the eye and say, God is for me. No, you got to really say it. God is for me. And I want somehow this morning that to sink into not just your mind, but I want it to sink into your heart. Because we may have the head knowledge of who God is, but I firmly believe the church needs a revelation in her heart of who Jesus Christ truly is. And Paul went on in verse 32 and following. I know I've really got to hurry today to get done with what I want to accomplish here this morning. He says in 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Verse 35 and following says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And Paul talks about this. He talks about tribulation or distress. persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. I have a question for you on Father's Day. Are there any conquerors in the room today? Paul in the scripture records and tells us that we're more than conquerors. There are times in our lives that we need to hear that, because I live in the same world you live in. I don't live in a glass bubble or a plastic bubble that shields me or protects me from the attacks of the enemy or the things of this world. So the same thing that's affecting you is affecting the pulpit. And every now and then, we get beat down so low that we ask ourselves, how much lower can I go? Life is tough. Life is real. Life is hard. Somebody in this room right now, maybe you've went through a battle this week, and you're saying to yourself, I don't know how much more, really, I can go through. Anybody ever been there? And it seemed like that everywhere you turn, it's one blow after another. Spiritually speaking, as well as physically speaking, it's like one obstacle after another. Paul reminds us, and Paul talks about these things that's in the scripture. He talks about being perplexed. He talks about being persecuted. He talks about being cast down. And he says this in all of these scriptures as Paul was writing this. He said in verse number 35, he talks about shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness, dangers, peril or sword. The Christians then and the Christians now, as Brother Scott said in Sunday school lesson today, that there are afflictions that is coming to the church. Now, you and I, we think about afflictions, and we don't want to talk about afflictions just too much, because it might really make us uncomfortable to think that the church would ever have to go through any type of storm. But I'm here to tell you, sometimes life is that way. And I could go off on a tangent right here and talk about that for a while, but I don't have time to do that today. But Jesus was in a storm with His disciples. And one of the things that Jesus said unto them is simply this, O ye of little faith. Storms challenge us. It challenges the very core of not only who we are, but storms will challenge us in what we really do believe. And this morning, that's my reason for being here today, is for us to reaffirm the simple fact that we really do but that believe that Jesus is who Jesus says He is. And my friend, I want to just come to you and tell you that if that is really not settled in your mind today, if you think that Jesus was just a good man that walked the sandy shores of Galilee, hey, it might do you for a while, but when the storms of life comes your way, my friend, you're going to have to be anchored in Jehovah. You're going to have to know in your knower that you know, if God be for me, then who or what can be against me? Can I get a witness in the house? One of the things that Paul said in 37, see, he said that we're more than conquerors. And I really did like verse number 38, because he comes back and Paul says these words as we sing in the song that we sung years ago. He said, for I am persuaded. Now again, that word's going to come up several times over the next hour and 15 or 20 minutes, just kidding. But it's going to come back up in a few minutes, because Paul knew in whom he had believed. Paul knew this, and Paul was able to say to the Romans, he said, for I am persuaded. Look at your neighbor again and say, I am persuaded. I am persuaded. Psychology can't do it. Sociology can't do it. Economics can't do it. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ can confirm that in the little bitty seed bed of your heart, that He is exactly who He says He is. But Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, as he says in the word, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Several things that Paul again mentioned here that he had been through some things in life. When you recap, and I'm going to recap this very, very fast. When you recap Paul's life, you can see that Paul went through a few things. Paul, we talk about these light afflictions that he made reference to. When you begin to look at Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, when you see that in the scripture, we can see this in verses number 17 and verse number 18. And this is what Paul was saying. He said, for our light afflictions, which is for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Looking in verse number 18, he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And then Paul jumps right in chapter number 5, and he said, for we know that if our earthly house be a house of the tabernacle were dissolved, that we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What Paul was saying, that what I'm going through right now, these light afflictions, for I know all things work together for good to them that love God, those that are called according to His purpose. Paul refers to the things that he was going through as just light afflictions. When we look further into the ministry of Paul, the Apostle Paul again was reminding us that we have treasure in these earthen vessels in 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not we of ourselves. Paul was saying, there's a big deal going on the inside of me. God is working on the inside of me. Oh, friend, I tell you, if we could move beyond customary way of having church, if we would move beyond the traditional way of having church, if we would move beyond the idea that this is the way that church has always been and this is the way it always will have to be in order for us to have church, I'm telling you, we would make room for the Holy Ghost to come in. We would make room for the power of God to begin to do a brand new work in our life, and to do something on the inside of us that is absolutely out of this world. Paul comes in verse number 8 and he begins to say this in the Word. He said, we are troubled on every side. Again, Paul was saying, I'm not in distress. He said, we are troubled on every side, but we are not perplexed. We are troubled on every side, but we are not in despair. 1 John 4 and 4 says, if God be for me, then who can be against me? Paul said, but 1 John 4 and 4 says, greater is he that is within me than he that's in the world. I wish on this Father's Day morning that every person under the sound of my voice would go again to Calvary, and we would understand that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're today and we're in an hour, we're in a place where we want to always feel something in order to believe something. But I'm here to tell you, if you'll believe it first, come on somebody, if you will believe it first, you can see miracles happen around you. I need to say that again. We've got to get to the place that we believe in Jesus again. We've got to move beyond the customary way, those things that perplex us and those things that persecute us and those things that Paul was making mention of, cast down but not destroyed. Again, when you look at this, he says here in the word of the Lord, Paul again writing this, he said in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 4, I love these couple of next verses. He said in verse number 9, he says, persecuted but not forsaken. Somebody say amen right there. Persecuted but not forsaken. Cast down but not destroyed. Paul was writing, and Paul was a reminder that he had an adversary. You and I have an adversary today. I don't want to glorify the devil. I don't want to put too much confidence in the devil today. But my friend, we have an adversary. Listen close. A lot of times when you go through afflictions, when you go through sorrow, are you listening? When you go through pain, when you go through troubles, when you go through storms and things in your life is going haywire, things in your children's lives are going haywire. The first thing, the adversary, the Bible reminds us that we have an adversary, the devil, if you will. And we must understand that the adversary attacks the righteous in order to accomplish his task. And my friend, and that is to do one thing, and that is to weaken our faith and to get our eyes off of Jesus and to get all of our attention focused on those difficulties and the misfortunes that are around us. When we think about adversity, it is a definition is a state or an incident of sorrow or continued difficulty or misfortune, if you will. Adversary may include trouble, opposition, pressure, chastening, illness, anguish, testing, or tribulation or distress. Again, my friend, when you came into this room today, you may have come in under the cloud of some of these things. But thank God you're in the right place today, because I believe with everything within me that there is a deliverer in the house today. I've got great confidence as much as God delivered the Apostle Paul. I know without shadow of a doubt that God today is here to deliver you, and God is here today to deliver me. So my mind, after I pondered on all of these things this whole week, could not help but to take me on a journey today of faith. The Bible reminds us in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, verse number 1. He talks about now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hoping through your faith, confidence in the fact that God's word is true, confidence in the fact that everything Paul has already said, perplexed, despaired, all of these things. But I like what Paul said there in the latter part of that. But he said, I'm not destroyed. Somebody hear me. Whatever you've been going through, the enemy means it for evil. But I believe, according to the word of God, that God will turn it around for the good. I believe that with everything. I hear the Holy Ghost telling me to tell somebody in this room, just hold on just a little bit longer. You're in the process. Hallelujah. You're in the process. And as you go through the process, God says, I'm going to position you for a greater outcome than you've ever dreamed or imagined. Don't fight the process. It's a process. And when you get through the process, if you don't give up, if you don't give in, if you don't quit, what God is going to do for you at the end is going to be far much more greater than your beginning. Somebody look to your neighbor and say, I'm in the process today. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm in the process today. I'm telling you, God's not finished yet. I'm in the process. Look at him one more time. Smile from ear to ear and say, I'm in the process. I'm in the process. Hallelujah. This ain't in my notes, but you don't go and enjoy that glass of grape juice until something got squished and squashed and all marred up and ugly. It's a process. Paul was reminding us of slingshot faith. I told you Wednesday night, I'm going to have something in my pocket today. I brought it. My mind couldn't help earlier in the week as I walked through in my own heart what I would be preaching today. We see Paul's confidence in God. We see a little lad by the name of David. You can go back and you can read about David and how David came to being and how it happened. And I'll just give you a quick overview because I got other things I got to get to. But in the beginning, there was this one by the name of Saul. Saul was rejected. God told Samuel, I have a new king coming on the scene. Have this young man, you need to go find him, need to go to the house of Jesse. out of the sons of Jesse. I'm going to pick me a new king. They bring all the Jesse's sons before Samuel. Samuel had the horn of anointing oil, and all of Jesse's sons come before Samuel, and all of them was there. And he said, surely you got another one. Is there not another one? Well, I do have this little bitty guy out in the field. He's taking care of sheep. He's kind of ruddy, kind of rough around the edges, but he's very, very pretty. He's a nice guy. Well, bring him to let me see him. When they sent for David, they brought David in. All of a sudden, when they brought David in, the Holy Spirit of God even then told Samuel, rise up, take your horn of oil, and anoint David. I want to say this again. Your anointing is on the way for such a time as this. I've had to walk, my friend. My God, I feel him. I've had to walk through what I'm preaching to you today. I'm not just picking something sweet and cute out of the Bible and thinking it was going to fit for today. Oh, no, my friend. When you've been through a few things, you can preach like this. I hate going through storms. I hate pain, just like you do. But a lot of time, Paul and Brother Scott brought it out great. A lot of times, the end is worth everything you've had to go through for God to get the glory out of it. So here we are. We're here with David, and we see that David's calling is where God anointed him. David, when you begin to look in the scripture, we're going to pick up and move forward, and I'm going to paraphrase and just tell you about a lot of this. It's where David again was anointed in 16 and verse 13 in the midst of all of his brethren. David, from that point on, he rose up and he found out that everybody didn't like him. Saul began to be jealous over David, and the Bible says that there was an evil spirit came upon Saul, and Saul would call for David, and David would play his harp, if you will, and he would calm down. But yet we can see where that David committed himself to Saul on an ongoing basis. Chapter 17, we pick up, and in chapter 17, we know the story. We know the story well of David and Goliath. But the thing that I want you to get out of this, part of what I want you to get out of this in the beginning, that when we read the Bible, this was a real event, and we read it and we get thrills and chills out of it because we read it. But this was a real life scenario for David. David had seen and heard, no doubt, the fear that would come upon all the children of Israel as they were told of how that the Philistines was going to come up on them. And they would actually call for a champion of the Israelites to come out and face Goliath. For 40 days, the Bible said, for 40 days, this 9-foot-tall, however, the commentary would actually describe that. There's different ones say different things, but let me just say it like this. Goliath was a big one. And Saul was a little one. Amen? And what appeared to be an absolute ludicrous, crazy situation, David was willing to observe from the outside looking in, and for 40 days the Philistine, this giant, came and called and beckoned and pleaded for Israel to send their very best man out there. The Bible reminds us of how that it struck fear into the heart of all the Israelites when this man, this champion, this Goliath, if you will, he would go out there and he would look for 40 days. And as he would come out there, and I'm sure he would bow out his chest, and that Brother Beckner, that armor that he had on, like a 125-pound shield, if you will, a 20-pound sword. 20-pound sword. And he would throw the sword out there and all. How many of you know the Bible says that the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour? The devil goes about as a roaring lion. And I've witnessed this. I've lived this. And all the devil's got to do too many times is to tell you, you're never going to make it. You're going to fail. Anxiety overtaking you, and the inside of your very body begins to almost shake because of the fear that all of a sudden strikes you. Brother Steve, I've been there. Because there's so many unknowns. And David was there, and this Goliath came out there, and Goliath actually began to roar. Goliath began to roar at the children of Israel. And then all of a sudden, this little bitty guy by the name of David looked at this guy, and David, and here's a key point. David wasn't crazy, as many of them thought he was, because they put Saul's armor on him. Surely, if you put on somebody else's anointing, you'll be ready to do what God's got them prepared for. Did you hear what I just said? And they put all that armor on David, and they looked at David. I thought about how silly that would be. I didn't have, which one of these guys is Carter? Come here. I had this planned. Come here, buddy. It would be like me putting my jacket on Carter today, and this is kindly what it looked like when David stood before Saul. And David said, something about this ain't right. I've never proved this. I've never proved this armor. So they took his armor off. Thank you, Carter. And David went forth. And David had something that I wanted to come and tell us about today. David had faith that God would do what God had done before for him. How many of you know that God won't fail you? David reflected, and David said these words. He said, well, I was out in my father's field, and I was protecting sheep. That's really good, because he was at his duty. He was at his post. He was doing what he was supposed to do, but it did not keep the bear from coming. It did not keep the lion from coming. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You live righteous, you might as well plan on an attack every now. You might as well plan on an attack about every day. Come on, somebody. The devil bombards our minds. The devil bombards us. He tries to get that seed of doubt, that seed of despair, Brother Steve, seeded in our hearts. He tries every day. And this is the way I refer to it. Just keep hitting that rock. Every day, Brother Beckner, just trying to break you down. Every single day, trying to break you down. Anybody in the room? Anybody been there? What you're going through is not what I'm going through, and what I'm going through is not what you're going through. But every day, Brother Harden, that old devil's trying to hit that rock to get the church to collapse, to get the church to break, to get you to throw your hands up and say, what's the use? If God loved me, I wouldn't be going through everything I'm going through right now. David was out there, and David was protecting the sheep, and comes the bear, and comes the lion. David said, hey, I got this. I got this. I don't know if he used a slingshot at that time, but the thing about it is, he went and got the lion by the beard, and he took his head off. The victory that David won there at that occasion gave him the strength to fight the giant on the other occasion. Many times we have to look back to the victories that God has already brought us through in order to be able to win the victory that we're facing today. Every day's different. But I know there's an old song, and some of you may have to tell me about this song. But there's a song somewhere that says, he'll do it again. That's another point, because I want you to look at your neighbor right now and say, he'll do it again. God will do it again. I got to tell somebody, you're not over. It's not over yet. You may have your back on the mat, And Brother Ron, you may be down for the two count, but something's going to happen between the two and the three. Come on, somebody. You might be going through something this morning, but don't you dare give up. You tell the devil, devil, you are a liar. Don't you give up. Don't you give in. David knew what God had done for him in the past, that God would do it again. Here comes old Goliath out there, and he said, am I a dog that you would but send this young youth out here, and you would make fun of me, and you'd call me a dog? So David sees him, and he sees Goliath. As big as Goliath is, this is in chapter 17, in the latter part of it, verses 9, 10, along through there. They want him to come out. They want to fight. And then David finds himself in the scripture. And we are jumping a whole lot, but you get the gist of it. To get to where I want to go before we close this thing out after a while. So here they are, they're having this conversation in verse number 23, and David had went out to take some food. Now, Jesse might have sent David out for that purpose. I think Jesse did that because Jesse knew what David had already went through, and I believe that Jesse knew that David was anointed for such a time as this, even though he was but a youth. But he was already anointed. That's why our young people in this room right now, you do not need to excuse yourself from the anointing, because you're in training right now to what you're going to be able to do as God leads you along in life. Hello? And I'm going to say something. Unscripted, not in my notes. A lot of our youth, and I'm not down in our youth, so don't think I'm down in my youth, the youth. They're youth. And right now, they're at a place that's protected and a place of innocence and a place that they don't really understand everything that we as adults understand and everything that we have been through, but they have their own battles. Our youth, our children have their own set of circumstances. If there's anything you can become in the church, is you can become an encourager to the young people. You can become an encourager to the youth. These boys around here, we need to tell them every now and then, there's a David in you. Young ladies, there's a Deborah in you. You can prophesy before God. There's a reason and a purpose for you. If we don't take the time to train our young people now, they'll never make it to your age and my age. Because they'll never know how to be discipled if we don't do it. That plug was for free. That didn't cost you nothing. Verse 23, David left the carriage in verse 22 and he ran to the army and he came and saluted the brethren. I love verse 23 moving forward. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words. Again, there was that defiance. There was that Goliath heard. David heard Goliath saying when he was saying. And he was out and he was again making a slaughter against the Israelites. Verse 25 says this, moving forward really fast through chapter 17. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Is he come up and shall it that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches and will give him daughters and make his house free of Israel, father's house free in Israel? And David spake to the men and stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God? I love that. Because at that moment, David was asking a question, but David's faith was rising again, and he was putting his confidence in God, and he was saying, who is this dude anyway? Tell me about him. Well, he's 9'9", he's big, he's a brute, and if anybody's ever watched some of the Viking shows, I can only imagine what he might have looked like. And he would make Carter look like chopped liver in a minute to go up against him. It was almost a sure death for David. But when you skip down, and I love this again, when David heard all of this, when David and his brothers and all of that went down, I love verse number 29, because when David heard that, I love 29, because he says, and David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Then they went, they told David, "It's absolutely impossible for you to do this. You cannot do this." David again, he reminds them of his past victories, and somehow or another they allowed David to begin to prepare to fight the giant. So what happens? And if I had time, I would talk about doing spiritual warfare the wrong way. Because that's what they done when they put Saul's armor on David. How many of you know the Bible says in Ephesians 6, we're not going to turn there and read it all, but Ephesians 6, down through there, verse 10 or so, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." You cannot take flesh and blood and win a spiritual battle. These things come not out except by prayer and fasting. We got to pray, folks. We got to seek the Lord. We got to trust God. Let me hurry along real fast. In the scripture, we see that where the Bible says, "And David girded his sword upon his armor and attempted to go and to prove it," this is where they said, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off. You got to do it God's way. Verse 40, "And he took the staff in his hand." He took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in his shepherd bag, which he had even in a scrip, and a sling in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. Again, when you think about what the Bible said, David had 5 smooth stones. Verification is in other places where that David knew, no doubt, that as soon as you touch one of the family members, you're going to get the rest of the family members. And there were 4 other giants in the land that was ready to come after David if David messed up. David got him 5 smooth stones. Let me say this moving forward. David knew what God had done for him in the past. But Brother Beckner, again, I want to say this, that the faith was not in the slingshot. The Alan Green viewpoint. But David knew God, and he put his faith in God, and he used what he had and done what he knew to do, and then God showed up. It was an emblem of his faith. It was an emblem of his faith. Are you with me? It was an emblem of his faith. And he knew that God was going to do it again. He knew that God would not fail him. He knew that God was not going to put him off. So when we begin to think about this, we can begin to see again what David was saying. He said he took his staff in his hand and he took 5 smooth stones and he put them in his shepherd bag. And then look at this. And the Philistine came, verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. Then the Philistine looked about and saw David disdained him, for he was but a youth. He despised him, and he was saying, "You got to be kidding me." Ruddy of a fair countenance. Again, the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that thou camest against me with staves?" And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. And then the 44, the Bible talks about there in 44, he says, "The Philistine said to David, Come to me, I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field." Now this first thing is what I really want to try to drive home over the next few minutes. I wonder in the room today, if anybody in the room has ever had to face a giant. I know years ago there was a baseball, football team on a movie that came out facing the giants. But my question to you would be simply this. Is there anybody in the room that's ever had to face a giant? We all have. If we were honest, there's doubt, there's giants of doubt. There's doubt. There's giants of discouragement. There's doubts of inferiority. There's doubts of loneliness. There's doubts of failure. There's doubts of not being good enough. There's doubts of I've tried that before. There's doubts of hypocritical thinking. If there's nothing down there at that church but hypocrites, I sure enough ain't going down there and be with them. All of these things are things that the enemy would come and try to tell you. What was different about David? What was it that made David different? What was it that made David go and face his giant? I tell you what I feel like God spoke to me about. And this is where I feel like we've got to recapture this in the church today. Number one is we've got to have an unwavering confidence in the abilities of our God. Are you with me? And I'm not talking about Elvis Presley song confidence with a C and an O. You've heard the song. You older people, younger people don't know a thing I'm talking about. So when we look at David, we see that David says this in verse number 44. And the Philistine, verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine. Sometimes you got to speak to your giants. Come on now. Sometimes you've got to understand mentally and psychologically, emotionally, and in your own spiritual person. I've been in this condition long enough. I'm tired of the condition that I'm in. Are you with me today? I'm tired of the mully grubs. I'm tired of living a life of defeat. I'm tired of living a life of despondency. Here's one for you. I'm tired of being the victim all the time. Can I tell somebody, you may, by the enemy's account, be a victim, but in God's eyes, you are a victor. Amen. The battle's already won. And David had to put it in his own heart. Hey, I'm going to keep my confidence in God. So wherever you're at today, whatever you're going through today, you got to have your confidence in God. David said this in the scripture, and David said to the Philistine, he talked to that giant, he talked to that situation, and I believe today that as you and I are here today, that there are giants in your life, that by the power of the Holy Ghost, you need to start speaking to the giants in your life in Jesus' name. Don't let the giant tell you what you're going to do. You tell the giant what God's going to do. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword. I can only imagine. Which would you rather have? That's all David had. Goliath had a 20-pound sword. You know what I thought about? This is me. You preach it your way. You know what I thought about? That sword ain't so long. I can knock your lights out with that from here to the back room. That sword ain't so long. You get something in your hand that's going to take the enemy out. The Word of God is a shield. Take the Word of God and defeat the devil. But I thought about this. I thought about that sword ain't so long. I thought about David's faith in God. Is far more greater than the end of that sword. David had his confidence not in Goliath's sword, but in God. So when we think about this, David said, "Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." The Bible says in the scripture, you can go look it up. It said, "Don't fear what man can do unto you. You need to fear what God can do unto you." So many times, even in the church, we've allowed the fear of man to hinder the work of the gospel. Come on now, somebody. You've allowed the fear of man to hinder and stunt your growth and dwarf your success because we're more concerned about what people think about us than what God says about us. And here we are, we're looking at David, and David is there, and David has the sword. David has the sword in his hand. I'll drop that. I know I will if I don't do that right there. It'll fall over. So David says, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And David, in his confidence, was saying this. David was saying this in his words to Goliath. This day will I deliver thee into my hand. Now here's the second thing that I thought about. And this is good. You got to have that confidence in God. But here's the thing, and maybe I should have said this one first, because this was a big deal to me. Instead of looking at the mountain, how big the mountain is, we need to be looking at the God of the mountain. I'm fixing to help somebody turn their life around right here. Not me, but the Word of God. Y'all ready? The church needs a new perspective on who God is. We need a new perspective. Because it may not be in your world, but I know how it's been in my world. It's been kind of mundane here lately. It's been sort of a routine. It's been kind of just sort of come in, same thing, leave, same thing. Nothing happening, nothing in my life changing. Same old, mundane. Now, some people may enjoy that. Some people may like that. But God has far more for you than just living a mundane Christian life. There's joy in God. There's happiness in God. There's strength in God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hey, the thing that I witnessed myself, Brother Steve, is when we really get a perspective of God that we need in the church. Hey, you'll enjoy coming to church again. You'll enjoy reading the Bible again. You'll enjoy praying again. So David, not only did David have the confidence in God, but David had to get a new perspective. In other words, when David got a new perspective, it led him to his victory rather than his defeat. Here's the thing I thought of too, vision. You got to have a vision for yourself. What did they do for Samson before he got the gates of Gaza? What did they do? They went and they took a hot poker, if you will, and they burned out his eyes because they knew if Samson ever got his vision back, that he was a force to be reckoned with. And that's what happens in the church. We need to clean our eyes out with eye salve, if you will. We need to clean our eyes out. We need to get all the muck. We need to get all the stuff in our eyes out, spiritually speaking, that's keeping us from being everything that God wants us to be. And we need to put our faith and our confidence back in God. We need to perspect our perspectives to change. And David said, this day, I love that. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. Wonder if there's anybody in the room. You've been going through a valley. It's been a long valley. It's been a lonely valley. It's been a dark place in your life. And you've been wondering, God, is there ever going to be an end to this? Today is your day. Today, God's going to change things in your life. It's going to be like a light bulb going off in your heart today. Because God says, I'm going to give you a brand new perspective, and you're not going to walk out of here today the way you walked in today if you choose to put your confidence in the God that cannot fail. Oh, I could just imagine. I can only imagine David. You sorry, low down, good for nothing rascal, you let me just get close enough to you, I'm going to cut your head off. Well, he's a preacher. We ain't supposed to be like that. Hey, the kingdom of God suffereth violent, and the violent taketh it by force. As long as we curl up like an armadillo, we have armadillo faith. I talked about that the other day. Armadillo faith is like when the enemy comes, we just get like an armadillo. We just curl up in a little ball somewhere. We sit over in the corner and we cry and we say, woe is me. No, I'm talking to a champion today, a warrior today. If I had time, I could get Jason Black up here and he could tell you all about military strategies of warfare that I don't know anything about. But I do know this, that mighty is God. And we've got to have a perspective of God that's going to lead us to our deliverance. This had went on for years, no doubt. There, all throughout the scripture, there's always been a rift between Judah and Israel and the Philistines. Read it. It's all in there. I need to tell somebody something today that I hope that you get a hold of this, because this is very important. You know when you're going to change? And you know when enough is enough in your life of what you're going through right now? Is when you make up your mind, I'm not living another day in the condition that I'm in right now. And you get out of the driver's seat. Somebody said, Jesus is my co-pilot. That's not where Jesus is supposed to be. He's supposed to be in the driver's seat. Hello, somebody. Not only did David have his confidence, and you can read this in the scripture. He said, but I will come and see, I will come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy head from thee, and I will give thy carcasses to the host of the Philistines this day, unto the fowl of the air, and to the wild beast, and to all the earth, that may know that there is a God in Israel. Sounds like a lot of big talk from a 15-year-old to a big man by the name of Goliath. He had that confidence. The third thing is this. Without looking at the rest of this and trying to tear it all apart, because this, I won't get part of it. But anyway, David had the assurance. Not only did David have a confidence and he had to get the right perspective, David had assurance. David knew God. Hello? When you know that you know, there is not a devil in hell big enough or that can persuade you of anything any different than what you hear God say. David knew without any wavering at all. He had 100% confidence in God. See, in this room today, there's people at different levels. 60%, 30%, 80%, 5%, no percent, but except a little bit. But everybody's in a different place. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life my faith has gotten weak. There have been times in my life, I'll be honest with you, I've had the wrong perspective. I've had the wrong type of confidence. I put more confidence in the environment and the things that was going on around me than what I knew to be the truth of God's Word. We sing that song, Blessed Assurance, don't we? But do we really have assurance that if God be for me, then who can be against me until the giants of our lives come? David knew, I got to get my stones, I've got to get my sling, because I'm on a battlefield for the Lord. When you look at David's life, you can see the rest of this in the scripture. And the Bible says this in verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Look at verse 48. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David. I love this, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Somebody listen. You'll never conquer what you're not willing to confront. If it's homosexuality, you got to confront it. If it's alcoholism, you got to confront it. Anything in your life that's tearing you down and destroying you. David ran, Brother Steve Jones, full speed ahead. This thing, I put up with it. Israel's put up with it. We've put up with it. We've lived it. We're tired of living it. Tired of living the way I've been living. Sick and tired of it. Hastened and ran toward the army to meet. He ran to trouble head on. Most of us often avoid trouble. You got to understand, David didn't do this in his own strength. David has his assurance, Brother Beckner, in God. He had his confidence in God. He had his perspective changing. He knew it. He knew that God ain't getting no glory out of this mess. God ain't getting no glory out of your mess. You need to change your perspective. Let me hurry. I've not got to the punchline yet. I'm almost there. Wheels is out, flaps are down. I see the runway. We're almost ready to touch down. Here we go. He ran toward him, and look at this. David put his hand in his bag. The Bible says that. It came to pass when the Philistine, he drew near, meet the army of God, verse 49. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in the forehead. I wonder. Just curiosity. If anybody in the room would be so bold as to say, "Preacher, it was me today. I've had this battle, I've had this thing in my life, and I got a lot of giants right now that need to be out of my life." Anybody bold enough to say, "That's me, Pastor"? Oh man, you guys are perfect. My Lord, I preached this whole message for nothing. No giants in the room, no giants, no difficulties. Praise God, this is a perfect place. No giants. Have you had any giants? Have you had any? What? You don't have to tell me, but there's your stone. That's going to be a reminder of the giant that you just slew today. Today. Adam, I ain't going to ask nobody what it is, but this is going to be the reminder of the giant that God's getting ready to slay in your life today. It will not be as it was when you leave this place today in Jesus' name. You think, "Well, preacher, you just preaching that?" Oh, God, no. No, there's much more to it than that. It will not be any longer the way it was in Jesus' name. It will not be, Brother Larry, as it was. You say, "Preacher, that's a good message. Where'd you come up with this at? You got a giant? You got a giant?" It will not be as it was in Jesus' name. It will not be as it was in Jesus' name. See, some of you are going to have to keep this in your pocket for a while. And when that giant, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. When that giant begins to rear up his old ugly head, you're going to put your hand in your pocket, and it's going to be a reminder. It's not going to be, "Well, you might get a little red dye on you." It's not going to be as it was. You say, "That's good preaching, but where did it come from?" Wednesday morning, I was sitting in the chair at the house. Horace gave Sherry the chair, and she's torn it apart. She's going to upholster on the chair. So I just scooted a cushion back and just sat down in that old chair. I sat down in that chair, and God began to speak to me about everything I preached to you today. Without me going through the whole thing and embarrassing anybody, I wouldn't do that. But Sherry and I, for about eight or more weeks, have been in a very difficult place. Many of you know our story. A lot of you know what we've went through with trying to help our son. And God spoke, Brother Russell, to me directly Wednesday morning, and immediately dropped every bit of everything I told you about this morning, immediately dropped it into my heart. And Sandra, this is what God said to me. He said, "You've had the wrong perspective, and you've been looking at how big addiction is, but you've not been looking at how big I am." And I told the church Wednesday night for weeks, this is how my mind's been for weeks. If you've never been in those shoes, God bless you. Thank God you've not. Annette, you know what I'm talking about. For weeks, my mind's just been thinking about all kinds of stuff, crazy. God, is there any hope? Sherry and I need a relief. Is there any hope for anything in our life? And for weeks, day and night, my friend, day and night, 24/7, fear, doubt, failure, inabilities. All of these things has been in my mind. Let me tell you something, friend. And in one second, all the fear I've had, God ain't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. All the things in my mind, the voices in my head that was screaming to me, and Sherry knows everything that I'm telling you is the truth. Everything in my heart and everything in my life that has been absolutely going crazy for weeks and months, immediately, Brother West, God being my witness, aligned. Everything in my life aligned. And God said, you've had the wrong perspective. You've been looking at how big addiction is, and you've not been looking at how big I am. David had to get his confidence back in God. David had to get the right perspective of his God. David had to walk in the assurance that God was not going to leave him or forsake him. David's life lined up. See, some of you ain't bold enough to tell stories like I tell. We like to push it under the rug and we like to hide it. But see, you got giants in this room in your life. There's giants in your life today that I promise you that if you'll give it to God and let God fix it, it'll be fixed. You say, well, preacher, how's the status? What's the update? The update is this, that greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. Greater is he, and here's another update, that God is bigger than anything that I've dealt with. My perspective has got to change. Let me talk to our young people for a minute, as Jody plays for just a minute. And I'm going to be real plain, I'm going to be real bold, and I'm going to be real brass or straightforward, if whatever I have to be. I'm not going to try to embarrass my son or anybody else's children. But young people, listen to me. There are people in your pathway that the enemy of your soul will put in your pathway for the purpose of ruining the rest of your life. There are things that the enemy will do that'll get you like this in your brain. The enemy is the author of confusion. And the enemy will come, and here's the biggest thing of all that's out there today. And our government and everybody else, they're just so crazy about this whole thing. And you don't even need to try to convince me otherwise, okay? Because I've lived it and I know. They want to legalize marijuana. Well, it's okay to smoke a little dope. It calms me and it helps me get settled in for the evening. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Jesus will do that. They want to legalize marijuana so that they can, everybody's going to get mad at me. Okay, you ready to get mad at the preacher? So they can screw up another generation. And young people today, when I was in the 10th or 11th grade, right along 9th grade, along through there, is when I personally, not hard drugs, but drugs that I knew I needed to stay away from. People smoking pot around me, trying to encourage me to do that. Drinking was never an issue with me, but it was an issue with my brother, who still today has struggled because of things that he'd done when he was 17 year old. If there's anything you can do, listen close, young people. If there's anything you can do, the Bible says flee from the very appearance of evil. I remember years ago when they were able to do cigarette commercials on TV. And they would show the Marlboro man, you know, the tough, mean cowboy with his rope and his horse and his saddle, and man, I want to be like the Marlboro Man. But they'll never show you the Marlboro Man a few years later on oxygen trying to get his breath because of he's burned his lungs up and destroyed his life. They'll never show you that. They'll never show you a car wrapped around a tree and severed into pieces because a drunk driver or somebody nodded out driving down the road that hit a family of four head on and killed everybody in the vehicle. They'll never show you that. But I will tell you that. But you can be different. You can be different. You can be a David. David said, I'm tired of this enemy. Anybody else got a few giants you want to be free from? He'll set you free. Won't he, John? We get our perspective so wrong. We begin to look at how big the giants are. And before long, we'll be all messed up. We'll be all messed up. We'll be all messed up. Because we think nobody cares. Am I okay? Those giants, the voices that's screaming in your ear will be silenced as you put your faith and trust back in God instead of the voices. Ricky, it's good to see you, buddy. It won't be as it has been, in Jesus' name. It won't be, Cheryl, as it has been. I believe this, don't you? Hey, I'm going to tell you something else, Brother Russell. I'll tell you something else. I've often wondered myself about divine healing. Because in many years of ministering, I don't know if I've ever seen too many miracles, divine moments. I know why. Because we're looking at cancer bigger than God. Russell, can I talk for a minute? Russell, right now, as he's sitting right there right now, has got about an 8-inch tumor in his colon that the doctor said has got to come out. But Jesus is bigger because with his stripes we're healed. Jesus is bigger than the tumor that the doctor says that's in your gut. And we've had this in our head all these years. I have. It's a death sentence. Once it's done, it's done. But God is bigger. God is bigger. Stand with me. I've only shared with you today what God told me to share with you. What is it in your life today? Notice something. Notice something. When the giant fell, because David took the sling, smote him in the head, it knocked him down. And then David took the enemy's own sword and cut his head off. What does that mean? That those things that the enemy intends for your demise, God said, he'll turn it around. He'll turn it around. He'll spoil the enemy. Your faith will spoil the enemy. Father, we love you today and we praise you and we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father God, for the word of the Lord that has went forth in this room today. Father, you said in your word that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your spirit, saith the Lord. And God, today in the name of Jesus, Father, take the very things that we've said here today. And God, let it be used for your glory and for your honor. That God, that the word of God will go forth and it will not return void, but God, it will accomplish the very things that it says that it will accomplish. Now, Father, I pray, God, that people has heard this message today. God, that they would once again establish their confidence in you. That once again, they'll put their faith in you. That God, that they have their assurance in you, God, not the strength or the means of man, but God, that we would put our trust back in you, God, and not the things of this world. For Lord, you teach us about faith, for we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. And God, help us to reaffirm our faith in you today, our confidence in you, Lord, today. Lord, I love you today. Would you just slip up your hand as an indication of your faith in God today, that you're putting your trust in Him. And Father, we just lift up our hands in worship. That God, that we're reestablishing our confidence in You today and not ourselves. But Father, we love You and honor You and we praise You and we thank You, Father, for Your amazing grace and Your goodness. For the grace of God that endures forever. And Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your touch and for Your anointing. In Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, praise the Lord. Thank You for being here. Take this message.